This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
Yeah, hit me with your best shot. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. And that was a bit of Pat Benatar. What an amazing, wonderful chick she is. Still going strong, I believe. And that's a classic from the 80s. You know, you've got your, is it your scrumple? Your scrumple, your scrunchie in your hair, Clayton? Clayton is here.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Claytox is joining us, looking at the box.
Yeah, and looking at you funny because I didn't know what you're talking about.
You always look at me funny because I'm funny looking.
Is that a New Zealand term? For the
scrumple. A scrumple in your hair, you know, it's to hold your hair together because the perm and the hair colour just makes it go everywhere, especially when you're doing your aerobics with your, you know,
leotard.
Your spandex leotard thingy and your knee warmers on. Yes, with your shoulder pads.
It's I called feel like power. I need to watch Flashdance now.
It's called Power Jazzercise. I don't know. But thanks again to the boys from the Sound Museum Yes, another good show. Lots of music. We won't be doing too much music tonight. Sorry about that. But we have got a bit of Daredevil in the background because we're talking about, not Daredevil actually, but Supergirl.
Yes.
Okay. That's why I chose that Pat Benatar track for the start of the show here on Sci-Fi and Scream there, Clayton. You were curious, weren't you? But it did appear in a episode of the new Supergirl online streamed TV show that is... happening.
It's definitely one of the show's strengths is its music. So
this is Marvel.
Well, yeah, we've swapped brands at this point.
It's not DC with Supergirl.
No.
And fantastic. But we've also, tonight we'll be doing a lot of other things. We're looking at that trailer, the teaser trailer for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
The excitement on your face was delightful.
Yeah, I have things to say about that. I mean, about the trailer, not about my face. I've said enough already. And also an announcement too. Some good news. You'll be pleased about this, Clayton, because I wouldn't show it to you before we came on
air. No, I don't
know
what it is. So I get to share it with the audience.
It's awesome. Look, basically, Melbourne Queer Film Festival has wrapped up for 2016. That's always sad to see it go, but hey, like good things, they do come back sometimes, especially when you're talking on Sci-Fi and Scream. Hauntings, poltergeists, spirits, possessions. We do all that stuff. Hmm. So I can be a psychic and say McQuiff will be back next year.
I think so too.
Now, the Lisa Daniel Claire Jackson Award for Best Australian or International Feature went to Closet Monster by Stephen Dunn.
Oh, wow. I did see that as well. That was awesome.
Oh, so you've already seen that news.
No, not the news.
Oh.
The movie.
Oh, the movie. Yeah, okay. And so that's from Canada.
Yes, it is.
Also known as Canada.
Canada, yes.
So it is international. I mean, well done. Congratulations, Stephen Dunn. Also, congratulations for all those who voted for it. And because, amazingly, it is a genre film. You don't have enough genre films at McQuiff, but when you do, they're usually pretty excellent. And what did you think of Closet Monster? We've talked about it on the air a couple of times now. But
yeah, I haven't actually, so this is my
question. Okay, all right.
Keep
it simple.
I thought it was extremely well acted through the whole piece, and the music, again, wonderful, keeping that sort of awesome vibe that's going through horror and sci-fi at the moment. And
yes, the wonderful sonic sounds and the interesting underground sounds that are coming to the foreground.
Definitely.
Underground, foreground. It's in your ears.
Absolutely. And it was
beautiful.
Good to see a couple of genre people in there. The guy who plays Ben from Falling Skies, one of the sons, and he was the lead actor and did a great job.
Canadians.
Yes.
And of course, the voice of the most wondrous of all, my favourite. I love her. If you've ever seen Blue Velvet, of course, which is celebrating, I believe, its 30th anniversary, 1986, I believe, Blue Velvet by David Lynch, and that is the wonderful, the marvellous Isabella Rossellini.
Who is just
a hamster.
The show. Yes, she
called
is a hamster. Buffy.
I know.
It's like, ah.
There's a bit of Buffy going on,
there's
or there's a bit
Buffy.
Of Joss Whedon going on in that film. There's a lot of Cronenberg, David Cronenberg, who, of course, is the maestro of horror and genre from Canada, in Canada.
And the maestro
I'm impressed.
A little bit of craziness, which is in this film a little bit as well. So,
it's Canada.
It's Canada.
I know. They've got less oxygen there, but that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's very cold.
It is. Isn't it gorgeous? Like, the whole film looks gorgeous.
It is.
And it's beautiful,
beautiful
too, you know.
Also, Joanna Kelly from I love
Warehouse
13. I love that
show. I never finished that off. I know it's finished, but, I want to sit down
It's definitely worth finishing.
Yeah, I want to take some time and watch it because it's got every. It's a bit like Haven. Did you watch Haven?
A bit to Haven, not all of it. Yeah.
I think they crossed over at some point, how they used to with sci-fi TV in Canada.
Definitely. It crossed over with the show set in this town.
Haven.
And another one, actually.
Oh.
Where they're all nerds.
I hate you. It's based on that evil company, which we won't say on air.
But it's
you know
a lot of fun.
I mean.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have to look up that.
But Closet Monster. Go see Closet Monster. It is
if
definitely
you can
worth
get
it.
To it. Yeah. I don't know where it's playing, but it might be playing at a festival somewhere.
I'm hoping that that Nova or someone picks it up for a bit of a screening. So
yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll also have an interview with the wonderful Bryony Kidd from Tasmania for Stranger with My Face, which is on this weekend. It's a busy weekend. It starts on the 14th, goes to the 17th of April. It's a busy genre-packed weekend because Stranger with My Face is really quite unusual. One could say it is a feminist film festival, but it also has events. It has many discussion panels. It has a dress-up or cosplaying. It's a tiny little festival with a very big big ambition, big heart, big face. Did you say big face? And Briony Kid's been there from the beginning. It's incredible. The international lineup of genre films and horror films and thrillers made by women, for women, but for everyone as well. It doesn't have to be exclusively made by women, but it has to have a topic where the main protagonist is female. So it's a very interesting festival. And I believe now it's the only one of its kind. There is the Elferia Festival, but that's, I think it's just one night sort of screening of horror films made by women in Los Angeles. This is now, The Stranger in My Face is the only
female-orientated
full female-orientated film festival of its kind with horror films and stuff. So.
It's a shame they can't match it up with Women in Horror Month. That would be awesome.
I know, but, you know, February is so busy, isn't it? February is the month for International Women in Horror Month. And then at the same time, you've got Black History Month. So Black Women in Horror History Month is what I did a few weeks ago.
Well, that made it into a lot of our tags that we made for that. So
Hashtag crazy.
Also, the ones we played on air with that slasher.
Abby. Oh, I know.
That was great fun to play.
Terrible
with.
Film. Lots of blaxploitation films, and I do enjoy them. I know that not supposed to, but we've liberated those now.
It's reclamation.
And there's also lots of great sites online. You can look at Black Nerds, for example. There's our friends Black Tribbles in Philadelphia. You know, and they embrace this blackness. That's their culture.
There's
from
a women
the 70s
in color
and 60s
comic book group, I think.
There is too.
I've read some interesting articles off that.
So we might put those up a bit later. Also, we'll be looking at a little bit of Supernova. That is also happening this weekend. Maria Lewis with her Who's Afraid, her female werewolf book.
Will she be there?
She is going to be there.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're going to get together a bit later, and because we've been doing Bad Bitches of History, well, she has, for Broad, which was on last night at 9 o'clock. What show am I on again?
Which shows are you not on?
Well, not your one.
No. Well, it's because
your one.
Because you work then.
I know, I work with a real job.
Yeah.
You got a real job, Clayton? Have you got a real job?
I do. I went back this week. I had to, you know, teach children again or something.
Well, as long as you remember to go back.
I did.
That's the main
and
thing.
I remembered to set my alarm, which was also good.
So. I'm scared of setting my alarm because my unconscious turns it off.
Ah, yes.
I don't even know I'm doing it, but apparently I am.
One of your
someone
other personalities.
Else. Maybe it's my cat. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we'll look at Supergirl, Stranger in My Face with Briony, Star Wars. Oh my goodness, there's so much going on. And did I say Supernova? I did.
We did say Supernova.
Yeah, we did a good... Phew, what do you want to do tonight?
Oh, well I was. I think I might be leaning a bit of Supergirl because...
Because you're looking at Claytox on the box.
I was.
TV and things.
And I've got a tiny little bit of news. I might even get some more if I get to the right place. We can talk about Shadowhunters if we get time.
Yeah.
It's not amazing, but still.
It has queer representation.
It does. And it's quite a good kiss.
There's one kiss.
Yeah, spoiler. I was be watching that before the show. It's a good kiss.
All right, yeah, let's talk about that a bit later. Yeah. Don't forget, stay with us here on Joy 94.9 on Sci-Fi and Scream, where we give you the creeps. Your joy.
Hi, this is Carrie Fisher, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
State your name for the record.
Jyn Erso.
Forgery of imperial documents. Possession of stolen property. Aggravated assault. Resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of 15. Reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined.
This is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel.
We have a mission for you. A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know what it is and how to destroy it.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
What will you do when they catch you? they break you. If you continue to fight...
So, Clayton, on Sci-Fi and Scream, what will you become?
Well, I might become a rogue. Or a rogue. I keep calling rebel, it
rebel
one.
Rebel, rebel.
Yeah,
you've torn
rogue.
Your laser blaster dress. Rebel, rebel. Your stormtrooper helmet's a mess.
Your ad-libbing
rebel,
is amazing.
Rebel, rebel. I think you know hot Yoda. I love you so. Sorry, that's terrible. Awesome. Awesome and awful. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. We've really hit a low point here.
Let's pick
Sonya's
it up.
Sonya's trying to be funny and it's not working. Let us know if you have seen Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, the trailer. It's called a teaser. It's a long teaser.
It's
for a
very long teaser.
It's 1 minute and 36 seconds. You can let us know 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au what you think about it. And... what do you think about it? It's pretty amazing. As
it's
far
very
as I'm
atmospheric.
Concerned. Yes.
It's just that it's got this beautiful atmosphere and that sort of femininity comes through quite easily, but it's.
Femininity.
I think she's
really?
Like. Yeah, I think it's still.
Felicity Jones is the woman. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Jen Arsa. So we don't know much about her. Maybe she is a rebel. She says she is a rebel or she's rebelling.
Yes, I will rebel.
Yeah, so there's
hopefully
no talk of Rebel Alliance as such in the trailer. There may be hints, and I'm sure there are plenty of Easter eggs and things to check out. Mm. We could be totally wrong the way we're looking at this. And, of course, it's by Gareth Edwards is the... I don't know if he did the trailer, but he's doing the movie Rogue One, and part of it's an anthology, Star Wars anthology, part of canon now.
Okay.
It's out December 16th, I believe, or 17th. Or 14th or 15th.
It's coming out eventually.
It's coming out in December this year. And Gareth Edwards, of course, did Monsters 2010 and, of course, Godzilla. The new, the rebooted Godzilla. Mm.
Monsters is fantastic. The reboot of Godzilla was okay, but
Monsters
I really
was amazing.
Monsters.
And I was very privileged, and I keep going on about it. I was very privileged to interview Gareth Edwards.
Oh, awesome.
So it was amazing, actually. When he did Monsters, which came out all those many, many moons ago, yes, that's not a moon. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Okay.
Death Star. Mm-hmm. Death Stare. I'm getting death stares from Clayton right now.
I'm just trying to catch up, that's all.
Okay, no worries. So Gareth Edwards, yes, did Monster, and he made that pretty much on a laptop while going for Ecuador.
It's just quite like an incredible film.
The cast, actually, one of the cast members held some of the sound equipment and the other one held one of the lights, and then they were like, well, where are the actors? Oh, well, actually, that's us. We're doing all the technical stuff too. And he had one other person doing the camera, and he swapped between that. He did the special effects on his laptop.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he's English, and he knows how to bring it all together, and I think, you know, that's a very English trait.
Definitely.
And let's face it, these Star Wars films, they're full of Brits. They're full of gritty Brits.
They are. And
you know, great English actors.
Definitely not to their detriment. It's a very good thing.
They're either Swedish or they're English.
And
aren't they? Well, Max von Sydow.
The lass who played Rey, where was she from? Was she British as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daisy Ridley. Happy birthday.
Oh.
It's her, not you.
No, I know. I know, it's not my birthday.
It's Daisy's birthday. I'm so excited.
She's
yesterday.
Wonderful.
She, I don't know how old she is, but she is bloody
much
awesome.
Younger than both of us. That's all I really know.
Yeah. Be quiet. Now, of course, it's got the wonderful, as we mentioned, Felicity Jones, Mads Mikkelsen. I don't know if we see him in the trailer. I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
Covered up in something.
Yeah.
We know him from Hannibal. He's a wonderful Danish actor. He's been in many Danish films.
And as much as I love and Anthony Hopkins, his portrayal of Hannibal, I think Mads Mikkelsen is the most creepiest.
It is creepy.
It's very
and it's
creepy.
Got a fabulous... you can get the cookbook. Actually, it's got a wonderful...
Oh, great.
Yeah. No, it has. My mouth's watering when I watch that show, isn't yours? A little bit of Chianti.
And some Farber.
It also has Alan Tudyk. We know him from Serenity and Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow.
Forest Whitaker, was that one?
Forest Whitaker, yes. Sorry, yes. Not the movie, but no. The man, mm-hmm. The wonderful man, and he brings levity to it. He's the one who says that, what will you become, to Jen Arsa, Felicity Jones' character. And he is just an awesome man of colour, a wonderful, strong, it's great. He's, you know, he's just the man.
He's
a wonderful actor.
I think the first film I saw him in was The Species, and way back in a long time ago. But
it's just Species, isn't it?
Just Species, yeah. Yes. Mm. That was more a stumble than anything. thanks for pointing it out.
I'll always rub it in.
Yeah. It's which I loved him in that, and then he's just done so much since, so... Yeah. He probably did stuff before that.
Of course, as far as queer films go, he's represented there. The Crying Game, Neil Jordan's 1992 classic that we all love. Boy George song, I still can't... Mm-hmm. I always cry when I see that film. It's got so much going on in it.
Does what it says on the box.
And, of course, Ghost Dog, 1999, Jim Jarmusch, who recently did what... What is it called?
I can't remember.
Only Lovers Left Alive.
Oh, right, yes.
Tilda
Swinton, the wonderful Tilda.
Also known as David Bowie.
My friend and I had a debate over whether it was a Rock Band film or a vampire film. Turns out it's both. So.
To me, it is a love letter from Generation X to Generation Y.
Oh.
I know. Came up with that.
It's very good.
It's mine. Anyway, I'm going to claim it. I'm looking forward to this film. I really am. I'm calling it the Star Wars for grown-ups.
Yes, that's a good analogy.
It's about time. Mm-hmm. People, it is time to grow up. I mean, I love, obviously, the biggie that came out in 2015, the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even remember what it was.
The Force Awakens. That's Sonya's memory.
the brain awakens. Look, it's got its big release day tomorrow, the 13th. But you know what? It's time to move on. I'm sorry, but it is time to move. It's a great family show. It's a great family thing. And Star Wars is up to a point, and then it's, you know, it gets all dark and nasty. That's okay.
Hmm.
But it's time for something for a little bit maturer crowd, and I'm hoping Rogue One will do that.
For the original fans who have grown up now.
Yeah. Well, the original fans of the prequels, probably.
Yeah.
Will probably appreciate this more.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the original fans are probably not around anymore. No, sorry. They probably don't have time for this.
Well, yeah. The first one came out or something like that. So, but I still, yeah, I saw them as I grew up, so.
You were the imaginative sparkle in your mother's imagination.
Because of Star Wars.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's all your fault. Mm-hmm. Is that why your name is Ben?
No, that's my brother's name.
Oh, was he a Star Wars baby?
No, but okay. Yeah. And he's just had his own baby. It's very cute. Which is called Rex.
Rex. I knew an Alsatian called Rex. Sorry,
that's the kind of where people go with this, yeah.
It is. Rex, the TV show.
There's quite a few.
The German Shepherd.
Do you remember Rex Hunt?
I try not to.
Yeah, no, exactly. But my father was on that show, so that's all. That's where my brain goes.
Oh,
so,
okay. That's Rex got Hunt. Nothing to do with Star Wars.
No, we should probably get back to that. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. So we're looking forward to this. I am excited. I think it is a mature aspect that we need desperately in the universe of Star Wars, and it would be great to see no merchandise for this one. Oh, how good would it be not to have merchandise?
Or if they have merchandise.
No,
I agree.
No merchandise.
Yes, but if they do.
The cleverest thing they could do for marketing. No. The best thing they could do for marketing for this one, if they want this one to achieve what I think they want it to achieve, they actually need to say, nah. Do you go to an independent film and expect to get marketing? Do you go in there and get the Kristen Wiig or the, the Kristen Wiig doll? No, you don't.
No, but sometimes I want them.
No, I know you might want them, but you don't get have them.
You have to make
you
them
yourself.
You
don't have a true faux truffle. It just doesn't happen, people. It is time to take off the training wheels. I want to see no merchandise. I know that won't happen.
I think you'll be,
But how amazing if they didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
If they just did the album for the soundtrack, maybe some movie artwork, posters and stuff, you know, old-fashioned stuff like that.
Maybe
and
you should get on the email.
Maybe we should take it. Also, I've got to admit, another wonderful actor in this, a couple actually, I'm knocking out the list now, but we've got Diego Luna.
It's a great name.
He was brilliant in Milk.
Oh, right. Yes,
mm-hmm. He's a Latino actor,
mm-hmm.
and it's great to see there's a real good diverse sort of showing here of actors and characters, so I'm really impressed by that. We've got Riz Ahmed as well. We've got Donnie Yen, who we know in many sort of wonderful action and J-horror and Chinese action films as well, Hong Kong action films. So I'm really impressed. We've got Wen Zhang as well, and the wonderful Emerson Nwoli. So there's some great
diversity.
Diversity there. I think I probably over talked too much about it now.
It's okay. You got excited.
I did get excited when I saw it. It moved me more than The Force Awakens.
That's good. The whole film.
Yeah, no, the whole trailer. yeah. The Force Awakens is a clever pastiche mix. Mm-hmm. It's like licorice all sorts. It's beautiful. You munch on, you eat them, and then you regret it a bit later, perhaps. And it had all those other things, people fighting over, you know, the Star Wars geeky boys, the fanboys getting upset because it had a woman in the lead. And yes. Now they're getting upset again. Oh, it's another woman.
But we can't have women.
We can't have women anywhere no. unless they're, you know, picking up the luggage or picking up the rubbish in the garbage chute, mm-hmm. Princess Leia. So
yeah,
things have moved on. I think Carrie Fisher will be happy.
Yes, I think so too.
I would be.
She was the woman who started the Star Wars women
it's all
femininity.
Her fault. This is Sci-Fi and Screen. That was Rogue One. We're going to talk to Bryony Kidd next. Or should we do Supergirl?
Let's decide in the break. Surprise people.
You should get closer to the mic.
I probably should.
All right, we'll decide in a moment. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy.
This is Maddie Doe, and I'm here at the Stranger With My Face Film Festival on Joy 94.9 for Sci-Fi and Scream. Had an awesome time talking to Sonia.
On Joy 94.9, and we're speaking on the phone line to an amazing and wonderful and inspiring woman who has put together something that was way overdue, but it's happened and coming up. It is the Stranger With My Face International Film Festival in Tasmania. I'm speaking to Bryony Kidd. Welcome.
Hi, Sonia. It's very exciting to be speaking to you.
So tell us a bit, briefly, who are you and what is Stranger With My Face?
Yeah, so Stranger With My Face International Film Festival. We started it in 2012 and it was Stranger With My Face Horror Film Festival at that point. And it basically started as a response to Women in Horror Month, really, because I had made some films and my colleague Rebecca Thompson had made some films, and we'd found that for short films particularly, the audience in Australia is a bit elusive, but we'd done quite well in the sort of genre market internationally, and through that I'd kind of got to know the women in horror movement and found that to be a really supportive community where, you know, people were sort of actively looking for new genre films by women, particularly Heidi Honeycutt, who Shannon Mark, who ran the Vista Film Festival at that point, which was about horror films by women. That festival doesn't exist anymore, but she now runs the Theory of Film Night. But it was all sort of inspiring to me, and I just kind of thought, well, why don't we just do a little screening down here in Hobart to celebrate Women in Horror Month? So it was initially just going to be that, and we put together a short films program, but then it was bringing a couple of features. We might as well, since we're hiring, you know, cinema and all this. It just kind of got bigger and bigger. So that was the first year, and then, you know, it just became established as a festival and kept going from there. And then we had a break from it in 2015, just because I'm a filmmaker as well, so I kind of wanted to step back and just work out how it could be a sustainable sort of model, because I think anyone in the arts understands that, you know, you can do something a few times without much money or support, but if you're going to keep doing it on an ongoing basis, it really has to be structured in a way that makes sense. That's why we kind of had a bit of a break from it. And now it's back in 2016 as Stranger With My Face International Film Festival. That's really because I can just see that there's a need for this kind of festival in Australia, because we have a sort of an undeveloped genre scene, but there's also not very many opportunities for women who are making this kind of work, and the audiences don't know as much about it as they should. So it just kind of seemed like something that was, you know, the time was ready to do that. Yeah, so that's why it's sort of not only back this year, but also bigger, more international, more kind of serious in a way, I guess.
You know, looking forward to it. I'm sure a lot of Melburnians who might be listening will be interested in jumping on the ferry and heading down there.
Yeah. They really should, because it's a great weekend. I mean, we sort of program it so that it really is pretty much all over a weekend. So you can come on Friday, and you could just come on Friday night and go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then possibly go back on Sunday night even. So that's kind of the way we've done it. Like, there are additional events throughout the week for local people, but for interstate people, you could come down, just have a whole lot of experiences in it, quite a short space of time, films and panel discussions and meet filmmakers and meet interesting artists. And the great thing about having it in Hobart and in the Salamanca Arts Centre and those kind of venues that we use is that it's very sort of intimate community kind of vibe, I guess. It's the kind of festival where you're not going to be lining up to get people's autographs. You're going to be just talking to them and hanging out with them and making friends with them. And I think that's why it's really important for the filmmakers particularly, because that's what you really need, is to be with people who are on your wavelength and
can
support each other and inspire each other and new relationships form and all that kind of stuff. So that's really the most important thing about the festival, I think, is just encouraging that kind of community building.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, you had, in January, you had the Tasploitation Challenge. How did that go?
Yeah, it was great. It was really big this year. So that's something, the Tasploitation Challenge is a 48-hour filmmaking competition, and it was part of the festival in previous years, but decided to separate it out because it's sort of become a big thing in its own right. And so basically you have 48 hours to, you know, write, direct and make a short horror film. And we screened them all. So they shot them over the weekend and we screened them all on the Monday night. Yeah, it's really a very interesting competition to observe over time and to see what, you know, how people are developing, who have done it, you know, a couple of times now. And then new people that you've never heard of, suddenly they're making these really crazy, bizarre, interesting films. So it's quite fathers who make films with their kids, and there's had a couple of family teams this year, so... You know, cool. They're all in the botanical gardens together making a film about the kids murdering people. You know, so we have sort of professional filmmakers, and then we have people who are just figuring out how to use their editing software, like, on the morning of the shoot. But, yeah, I mean, the other interesting thing about it is that it has come from the Stranger With My Face Festival, which is really a feminist genre festival, and so it's all about the representation of women and increasing their opportunities and visibility. But Kayla Janice, who was helping me run it, we sort of wanted to carry on the ethos of the Stranger With My Face Festival into that. So basically we had some rules around, you know, there's always got to be more than 50% women judges, for example.
Yeah.
And we had a specific prize for the most interesting representation of gender in a film, which we call the Barbara Creed Award. And so, you know, these are just little things, but ways that we were trying to ensure that it would be an inclusive event and that women would participate and that it wouldn't be like the rest of the, you know, how horror and the genre scene can be very, very male-dominated. So, you know, whether or not that was entirely successful, I can go into in more detail, but that is the kind of ethos of it. So I guess everything I'm doing in this area with organising events and festivals tends to have a bit of that feminist perspective going on as well.
And what year are you up to now? It's how many years?
Tasploitation Challenge was the third year of
third
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was quite a bit bigger. We had it at City Hall, and there was 27 films that were screened on the night.
Oh,
and
cool.
Sort of up to 6 minutes duration. And we had a couple of interstate people as part of it, but I mean, I think ultimately I'd like to see teams come down to Tasmania for the weekend to be part of it, because I think it's a really good opportunity for them.
What's with werewolves at the moment?
Yeah.
Werewolf is really having a comeback or something, but of course for women, the werewolf historically means something quite sinister and different. You know the story of the origins of werewolf?
I don't know if I know the story. I've heard some. And Jasmina Chaninas gave a really amazing presentation at our festival a couple of years ago about her work, like the Girly Werewolf Hall of Fame, which you probably know about. And that just talks about different representations of werewolves in culture and women as wolves, I guess. So I kind of have some idea about it.
No, well, it does have a darker side to it, that the werewolf was explained to girls and women as the creature that what men would become, or basically rapists. So and that's what the werewolf was. The, cause you're not all men are bad, you know, but some become rapists. So, I think it was in Germany or Bavaria or something. There were these serial rapes happening, and villages, and so they designed this story to tell about werewolves and to be careful and all of the stuff. So there is a darker, not so pleasant side to it.
No,
as well.
I do remember seeing a documentary about that, actually, where it was a real serial killer, and they thought that it was a werewolf, or they chose to pretend that that's what was happening, but it's really just a serial killer.
It was a horrible man. All right, I'll let you go. Thanks a lot. That was great. Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. That was a wonderful Briny Kid, and it's all happening this weekend, Stranger on My Face and Tassie, the International Film Festival for everyone. But it is a feminist film festival, and it certainly has got the horrors in it. So they've got all sorts of fabulous movies, short films, presentations, parties. You can meet the artists, you can meet the filmmakers. This is why it's so wonderful. And they've got Q&As and all sorts of things. So head to Tasmania, go to Stranger With My Face. You can look them up anywhere, everywhere. They are everywhere. Clayton, would you go to Tasmania?
I have been to Tasmania.
Yes, I know, but would you go to something
I would definitely go to see Stranger With My Face.
I
think
if I had time.
Yeah, it would be an awesome experience. Do we know where the title came from at all?
It's from a stories from a book.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Nice. I knew you were going to throw that at me.
It's the only question I know I wasn't supposed to ask questions, but yeah.
No, I know you're not, unless they're rehearsed.
it's a great title. That's why I'm curious.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm curious too, so I'm looking it up now.
Yeah, so I'm just, you know.
God, not Facebook. No, you're on Facebook. No, all right. So,
we'll get back to that later.
I hate you right now.
I know.
But hey, can you read out that message if you get a chance?
Oh, yes.
You really have to do it with that, no.
You have to click on that, though.
Shush. This is magic. All right, hurry up.
Sonia.
Yes?
I need to go closer. I haven't got my glasses on. Oi, Sonia, guess who's still awake?
I don't know.
I'm excited by the new Star Wars preview and thrilled that all the dude bros are getting shitty and another lead lady. About another lead lady. FM. Can we say that this time?
No.
No, cool, I won't. Say hi to Clayton too. Clayton is ace. Love, Rose.
Oh,
I had to say that
you,
bit.
Clayton.
I know.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, look, thank you for the message. It's great. But dude bros, look, they are losing it, some of them.
They are. It's quite interesting to see just how much they're freaking out. We can't have women in Star Wars.
Yes, but what with Carrie Fisher? And it's like, we can't have black people in Star Wars, which was what was Darth Vader then?
And black people and
Billy
women.
Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, exactly. That was always my
black
favourite
women.
Fact.
Actually, that is one of the things that... actually, this is time for you to cut to something interesting, I think.
Okay.
In a moment. we're talking about Lois Duncan, Stranger in My Face. All right, there you go. It was a book. Mm-hmm. Yes, how do you say that? Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. It
Casting
is the end
update.
Of the world.
Casting update.
Yes, they've actually had a black woman in there.
Woman of colour. Yes, and
lovely.
Her name is?
It's Esa a lovely
Thompson.
Name. Yes.
it's to a it.
But there's going to be no Natalie Portman. So
never mind.
We've pushed her off somewhere.
I don't know, have we? No, we just don't want her anymore. Well, no. She's going back to Star Wars, is she? I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Stop it. Because it would be about the... No, that can't happen. Sorry.
No.
Forget it.
Taika Waititi is, of course,
a
directing.
New Zealand.
A
Kiwi.
Maori. A Maori. And he is...
Directing
obviously bringing in a bit more diversity into it, so which
he's
is great.
He's probably had a lot to do with this, actually. Mm-hmm. I immediately saw his signature all over it. Well, not literally, but it's metaphorically speaking. Mm. He is the dude who is a good dude. And
I'm really looking forward to his new film, Wildebeest.
The wilderness people.
Yeah. Well, okay. Anyway.
One day, we'll get it right. It's due to come out in May.
Yes.
So I'm looking
but
forward
the trailer
to
is awesome. If you haven't seen it, go YouTube
and
it.
And if you know some Barry Crump, and who doesn't know some Barry Crump, it's a great, he's a great mythological sort of writer creature wearing a swanee. If you know what a swanee is.
I don't know.
And gumboots. Do you know what gumboots
are? I know
what
gumboots are, yes, okay.
In a this is a brand, sorry, but a Ford Hilux.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but it's like he used to do these ads for this particular type of vehicle, and he was a writer and a poet. He didn't know it. And he used to write lots of kids' sort of stories. He was a total Kiwi bloke.
Okay.
I think he wore a black singlet. I think Foot Rot Flats might have been based on him a little bit. But anyway. Hey!
Yeah.
Oh,
let's
my
play
God.
Some, yeah.
Yeah. All right, this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Message us 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Thanks, Rose.
Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94. Is there a dot in there?
Yeah,
just
point.
94.9. Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, stuntman, actor, director, lover, friend, confidant, shoulder to cry on. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
It is time for my annual list of things I am not grateful for. And this year's list is only one item. Supergirl.
Since I can remember, guess I've been a problem. Never had a filter, never been the popular one. The sugarcoat what I know is undeniable. I just can't hide it, I wear it like a
coat of arms.
Everywhere I go,
the world's most unreliable superhero.
I can feel them staring, they hope I'm just pretending and giving up my power, caving under pressure.
I can't be in two places at once.
I live for something better.
Why did you hesitate? Do me a favor and take off your gloves. Not Supergirl. Every minute that you waste playing assistant in here is a minute that someone out there is not getting saved.
So what if I don't look the part I'm supposed to play? What if I don't follow?
You cannot lose control like that.
They think I should be perfect. They love.
So the flying, the super strength, the crazy breath thing. I'm still working on that last one.
Oh, so you're not up to this level yet.
I wouldn't say that.
I don't trust aliens.
I started this. You have to let me stop it.
Kara risks her life to protect other people, and she is a hero. It's not her fault that I decided to become Supergirl.
There is no correct path in life.
That was my choice.
It was.
Be strong.
And always be true to yourself.
No hero can save everyone. But a real hero never stops trying.
Yeah, so what if I'm an outcast? Supergirl, that's some of the Supergirl songs and themes for something for Sci-Fi and Squeam to think about, or at least Clayton here to do and think about.
And look, there's a lot of themes in there, and the feminist theme is really good in it. I have enjoyed that. Clissa Flockhart plays the Cat Powers.
Jesus.
I don't think it's Cat Power. Cat Grant, that's right.
Cat Grant, yes.
She plays the leader of this big empire, and she actually names Supergirl. And at first, Kara, who
hashtag
is...
Hashtag Supergirl. Mm-hmm. Hashtag not terrible.
Not terrible. It's not terrible at all, no. She plays... Kara comes in and says, do you really want to call a girl? Is that like anti-feminist? Mm. And then Calista Flockhart has this really great speech about why being called a girl is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really, the feminist element is great. But
The creators are Ali Adler and the wonderful Greg Berlanti. And we've spoken about Greg before because Jamie Babbitt is a good friend of Greg's.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that chat to Jamie a couple of weeks now back there talking about Addicted Fresno and But I'm a Cheerleader. But she got a job through Greg. He gave her episode 13 of Supergirl, I believe. Childish Things.
It's Childish Things, mm-hmm. where one of the characters, Wynn, his father comes back and he's a supervillain. Who makes toys that kill people. And it's a very emotional episode, actually. It's
so they don't
really
have the safety approval stamp.
No. Right. They're kind of more like bombs and things.
Yeah, so if you put them in bath water with your bubbles...
That's not going to work so well.
You know, not your bubbles, but your bubbles.
Yeah, I think the bubbles will be made of acid. So,
I mean Bubbles the monkey.
Oh!
Sorry! He's getting his own film. Did you know that? Anyway.
I heard that, yes.
Sorry.
We see lots of female villains as well as the female heroes. Yeah. So we've got Livewire and Brainiac 8, who is also known as Indigo in this version. Mm-hmm. So there's all these people... You're getting that balance. She fights men as well. She's not, she's quite keen on beating up the right man.
And she's, because she's the cousin, basically, of Superman.
She is the cousin. So she gets sent at the same time to Earth.
But she's older and
she's a little
it
older.
Work out.
Yeah, so she goes to the Phantom Zone or something like that.
Phantom Zone.
Something.
It's just weird. That.
It is.
But, yeah.
And then when she crashes into Earth, a prison ship falls to Earth at the same time. So all these Kryptonian prisoners escape.
Nasty people.
Yes, which include monsters from other planets.
Yeah.
Probably aliens rather than monsters.
Lizard-faced people.
Yeah.
Why are they always bum-faced or lizard-faced people in sci-fi? Nah. Never worked that out. Like, we were talking on Broad last night about why is Alien considered an alien, because we're the aliens, the humans are the aliens, right? So Alien wouldn't be the alien at all, but is Alien about humans, not aliens?
Well, has all this time has it referred to the humans
exactly. And it's female on female, but not necessarily what our listeners like. But
well, no. Well, some of them, maybe.
Well, some of them. And look, we're open-minded. It's all about diversity, representation.
Yeah.
Sorry, Clayton.
Yeah, so Supergirl, right?
Yeah. Back to the Supergirl.
I've really enjoyed it. It's just... There's lots in there for everybody, I think. It's not... Like, on the Internet Movie Database, its score's not great, but I'm wondering if that has something to do with the femininity of it again. Like, so,
she is pretty, blonde and bouncy.
Yeah.
You know, there is a bit of a Lois Lane there.
There's a Lucy Lane.
There's a Lucy Lane, the sister. And it was interesting to have James Olsen, not Jimmy Olsen, as a man of colour.
Absolutely.
Of colour, so that was interesting.
Yes, he likes to be called James, and he's played by McCad Brooks.
Yes.
Good name, too.
I know. And Peter Facinelli's in there, too, as Maxwell Lord.
I must say, I'm a little disappointed.
Twilight. Isn't he from the Twilight verse?
I prefer to think of him as from Nurse Betty, Nurse Jackie.
Oh,
Nurse Jackie,
enough.
Yeah,
Nurse
which is
Betty.
A great... No, Nurse Betty, no, Nurse Jackie.
I don't know what that is.
Which is a great show. And he's really good in that. I'm not enjoying him in Supergirl, though. He's just playing Lex Luthor, basically.
Yeah. It's like a poor version of Iron Man or something.
Yeah, it's not good.
And,
David Harewood plays the leader of this secret organisation that Supergirl works with.
He's good.
And when you find out more about him...
Of course, Who's else? Helen Slater. Of course, the original Supergirl.
Oh, yes. Plays Supergirl's mom.
Yeah.
And Dean Cain plays Supergirl's dad.
So, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, I know. That was fun. That was fun. So, of course, it's all about adoption, too. And there's some interesting adoption stuff in there. Her sister, Alex, isn't it?
Yeah.
Danvers. Mm-hmm. Of course, in the, DC verse as such, we know her to get involved later, don't we? As with Bat, the Bat person.
And oh, really? Didn't know that, actually. So there.
I think it is. Oh, could be. Oh, no. I'm
if not,
die
it
now.
Is now.
Yeah, look, interesting that the niece, the real biological niece of Supergirl, Kara, is an evil villain, And it kind of looks at, wow, look, now you know who your birth family is. Look how evil they all are, the survivors. Look how bad they are as people. There's a lot of that kind of... very typical, stereotypical.
It gets a little more
ideas
complex
about adoption, which is not healthy.
No,
could be that representation is that if you find your birth family, they're always going to be bad. That's a load of rubbish.
Well, that's very
in
true.
My experience, anyway. But Anyway, so that's... I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, look, that's fair enough. Mm. It's her aunt, though, so it's like it's not her...
So it doesn't matter. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying it doesn't matter. It's Allura. Not her mum. Her mum's nice.
Astra. Sorry.
Astra. And Astra? Allura. No, there's Astra and Allura. It's played by the same actress.
I know, that's confusing.
Yes, it is. And it takes me a while. One has a bit of grey streak and the other one doesn't. That's sort of like...
That's about it. Really. Yeah. They're virtually twins. The same person. But they're not twins.
Oh, the sisters, think. At least. Yeah, so I don't know. It doesn't really say just a sister.
So what do you recommend people do? Settle in and watch this?
I think it's a great binge watching show. So sit back and relax and watch some Supergirl. I definitely recommend it.
Mm. It's good to. It is refreshing to see her at last get her own spin on it, her own show as a satellite and everything. It is good to see that and female representation and. You know, she's not too klutzy. She's not too stereotypical. Hopefully she shows a bit later in the series that she does have these amazing strengths that she can pull from, and she does get a bit angry occasionally. So
she does get a bit angry occasionally.
That's okay.
I can guarantee that. And apparently if you have to be a former Glee cast member to get a superhero job these days, because a lot of people in both this and The Flash are former Glee people. So, I don't know what the connection is.
Something to do with capes.
Maybe.
And drapes. Mm. All right. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Sci-Fi and Squeam. Yes, look, thank you again for coming in, Clayton.
No problem. Time flies when you're having fun.
And, look, thanks so much to all the listeners and those messages and et cetera. And you go to Supernova. If you are, we might see you there. We'll be covering it next week. Well, we'll be saying what happened and all that sort of stuff. So tune in then. You can always email us, of course, Sci-Fi and Squeam, or at Queer Geeks of Oz is our handle for Twitter on the Twitterverse. Thank you, Clayton.
No problem.
Who's up next?
It is Behind the Curtain with Colin.
Oh, cool. All right. We'll get a chance maybe to look at Observance another time, I think.
I'm looking forward to that next week, hopefully.
And Daredevil. Maybe we'll finish up with that next time, since we're playing the soundtrack right now. All right. This has been Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Connor from Astron 6. I'm turning it over to Matt. I want him to say the station drop. Matt, let's hear it.
Hey, this is Matt. This is 94.9, Sci-Fi and Squeam.
It's a real nice day out there,
it's
guys,
a beautiful
in Australia.
Morning.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi-and-squeam for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.